Welcome back, everybody, to The Arrow. My name's Chandler.
My name's Tony.
And Tony, before we get started today, we just want to remind everybody to go follow us at The Arrow Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Tony, why should they follow us?
For quality content.
I thought you were going to say quality assurance.
Quality assurance. Doggos.
Let's pause real quick and then we'll come back. Sorry about that. Someone walked behind our backyard because we live in an apartment complex. So that happens and Loki doesn't like that. So anyways, why should they follow the Instagram and Twitter?
Quality content. It's a lot of updates on when we're posting since we're not always on time on our Tuesday uploads. No. So you're going to get...
That's all me.
we're gonna get updates on when the podcast comes out, as well as on our Instagram. At least we do have a lot of shared posts. We even got appreciation for everything that we share today, actually. People seem to be liking that we're sharing a lot of different artwork and a lot of different pages and stuff, and that's what I enjoy as well, because there's so many talented artists and creators out there that are still in the Avatar fandom after all these years, even before Netflix and all this stuff came out, and I just really enjoy sharing all that stuff.
Yeah, it's a really good time, and I think that just knowing when we're doing new episodes, if we're going to be doing a bonus episode, what kind of episode we're doing this week, or even just
giveaways,
like future giveaways. If you all want free stuff for minimal effort, just following us. We've got more coming down the pipeline, just so you know. Non-disclosure agreement forbids me from saying when the next giveaway is, because we totally signed one of those. So yeah, there's following us on Twitter and Instagram. Also, if y'all have been, for all of you who have checked out my podcast, my other podcast, my new show, Yo, Let Me Tell You, thanks a lot for checking that out and providing the feedback. If any of you haven't, I'm doing a new show. It's called Yo, Let Me Tell You. I just bring on friends or people who I'm interested in. I'm starting to get some people who I don't know in real life, but have met online through streaming and stuff like that to kind of come on, which is really cool. And I just give people a chance to talk about things that they're passionate about. Your boy Tony is going to be on the show in just a couple more weeks. His episode's coming up in a couple more weeks. Tony, I have to keep them waiting, Because when we give it to them, we got to give it to them.
I want to re-record mine.
Too bad. We're just gonna have a lot of fun with that. Is really what that is. Also, the other thing I wanted to say about when we moved to Anchor, I just didn't even realize that there's no automated tweet that goes out that I get to. So I have to. I'm going to be more mindful about intentionally tweeting out the episode instead of just letting the auto tweet, because we don't have one anymore. I can probably figure it out. But yeah, it'll just get me more intentional on Twitter, anyways. So. Today, Tony, what episode are we talking about?
We're talking about bonus episode 4000.
Bonus episode 4000, gotcha. That's the one where we talk about Iroh quotes, right?
Yes.
Awesome.
It's going to be a good one. Yeah. So actually, this is a bonus episode I've been wanting to do for quite a while, but we always seem to push it back a little bit.
Yes, I 100%, when you said, why don't we talk about Iroh quotes today? I'm like, Tony, we've already done that.
Yeah, and we were supposed to do it. That's the thing. It was one time when it's been a while. It was one time where I drove all the way to San Diego, and we were lining up multiple episodes to record in a batch, and then we just never got to a bonus episode.
So
that's why it was we were supposed to do that day. We had it planned, and then again, it was just we never get to it.
This must have been back in January or February or something
I think this was our last time we recorded together. So beginning of March.
Oh, real early March.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I 100%, because I know we talked about doing that episode at least two times, so I was it has to have already been done.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, apparently. So
like I mentioned, this is a episode that I've been wanting to do for quite a while, which is Iroh quotes. I see that often on Instagram and everything. There's even pages specifically dedicated to Iroh quotes. And I feel like that these are the words of wisdom that we kind of resonate. There you go. Sorry. With me the most out of like every like quote that we hear or any other characters is just like these words of wisdom from Iroh. And I kind of wanted to dive into a couple of them at least.
Okay. Yeah. So how do you want to go? Do you want me to go first, or do you want to go first?
I'll let you go first.
Okay, so that means you go last.
Yes.
Because if we each have two quotes, it's kind of what you asked me to choose two of my favorite quotes. So I did. And so the first one that I want to talk about, it comes from what was the episode called? It was like when Zuko was the blue spirit and he was going to try to capture Appa, and then he ends up releasing Appa, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
What was that episode called? I don't remember what the episode was called.
Avatar Experts.
Yeah, right? Like we're totally an authority on this show. But the quote that I really love is, "It's time for you to start looking inward and asking yourself the big questions. Who are you and what do you want?" Or as Iroh said, "Who are you? And what do you want?" Right? I really like this question because I love this quote specifically because I think oftentimes I find people living in this pattern of doing things to keep the peace, doing things to not upset other people, doing things to live in the most live the least amount of friction. Yeah. Between them and people who they look up to, people they respect, people who, you know, maybe their parents, maybe their bosses, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing things that are, you know, that they don't even realize are kind of quite outside of their values. And living in ways that might be outside of their values because it's the easiest way to do it. It's what, you know... This is what's going to lead to me having a good relationship with these people.
Yes.
And it's comfortable, like what you just said. And for me, when you ask yourself what you want and you actually stay true to yourself, like maybe you do want that thing, but maybe you want that for reasons that are different than the reason why you're chasing after it. Mm-hmm. Maybe you want something completely different. And I understand that everybody might not be in a situation in which they can say, "I don't want to be doing this anymore. I don't like this. I don't want to live here anymore. I don't want this job anymore." We might not all be fortunate enough to be in that situation. But if you start asking yourself that question, who are you and what do you want? What's most important to you? What do you value? Is this really what you want to be doing with your life? Even if you're not in a fortunate enough situation where you can just leave that immediately, I think it allows you to start making some choices and take control of that agency and make some choices and start making some moves towards what you really want. Mm-hmm. And I find that's just like not a question that a lot of people ask themselves very often, which is why I really wanted to bring it up here today.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've seen that several times where I would say more timid or shy individuals who, like you mentioned, want to keep the peace, have a tendency of going along with what everybody else is saying or what's going to be what's going to cause the least amount of friction.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes that's not truly what they want. So they might be making decisions on behalf of their significant other, their parents, or their friends. And it turns out it's like, this isn't what's actually making them happy, but right. It makes everybody else comfortable and happy.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one of my clients, when I was doing college counseling, like they were living with their parents and they were saying like, "I don't want to leave because my parents need me." And it really came down to that was a more comfortable situation. And their parents are like, we're very traditional. We're like, "You're not moving out until you get married." Like, until you have your husband.
So you have your own family. Yeah. You can't be apart from our family.
Yeah. And so they were just extremely traditional in that way. Mm-hmm. And for her, it's just like, this is completely unrealistic for me. But this is what makes my parents happy because this is how they were brought up. And at the end of the day, it's like, yes, okay, that makes them happy, but you're neglecting how you personally feel and how that's affecting you.
Yeah.
Like you're almost putting your life at a halt because you're not taking the opportunity to ask yourself these questions.
Mm-hmm.
You're willing to go with the flow in a direction that you don't even really want to go.
Right. And I think the great thing about this question too, I think that this question can be used in a more like kind of global, and by global I don't mean necessarily like planet Earth, but global sense, like a big picture kind of way, like who mm-hmm. are you and what do you want, but it can also be used in these like really like micro situations in which it's I'm feeling anxious right now, I'm feeling upset right now, I'm feeling mm-hmm. Angry right now, I'm feeling antsy, like whatever that feeling might be coming up, but it's something that's the common thread between all of those feelings is that there's some feeling of discomfort that might be coming up for you in the moment, right? When mm-hmm. you're at a party, when you're with your friends, when you're with people you don't know, when you're on a date, when you're like whatever it might be,
yeah,
right. This feeling of discomfort might be coming up, and asking yourself like, what do you want? And I might even like modify that to say, what do I need right now?
Yeah,
right. And asking yourself what you need right then and there can really lead to some positive outcomes.
Yeah.
Some positive outcomes for you.
Definitely. So. Yeah, I think it's hard because it's almost like when you ask that question to yourself, it really seems like I'm being selfish. Like
right.
I'm thinking about myself, but mm-hmm. you need that in your life. You need Absolutely. To take those opportunities to be selfish at sometimes. And I mean, I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. I mean, at the end of the day, we have to take care of ourselves before everyone else.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, that is my first quote.
Nice. That's a really good one, actually.
So Tony, tell me, what is your first quote?
My first quote is, failure is only the opportunity to begin again. So I really enjoy this one because it's actually something that I've struggled with like majority of my life. Mm-hmm. I, for a very long time, I've been terrified of failing.
Okay.
It's I try so hard to be good at like everything I do. Like, mm-hmm. as you know, like I, if I'm going to do something, like I want to prepare, like I want to over prepare. I'm the kind of person that like when I'm playing video games, like I will not go to the next level because I want to be over leveled and be completely prepared on like my stats, my weaponry, my armor and everything before yeah. I continue, because I rather expect for the worst.
I will say, because you and me share so many very similar qualities, I think this mm-hmm. is like one place where we do differ a whole lot.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So I definitely want to be ready. Mm-hmm. And that kind of holds me back fairly often. And because then I didn't realize it at the time, and it really took for me to reflect on it, but I kind of avoid situations where I'm going to fail, where I know I might fail, where there's a good chance of failing. At the end of the day, that's just not allowing me to grow, because mm-hmm. Failure isn't failure unless you stop trying. Mm-hmm. And that's a lesson that I'm still trying to grasp to this day. I feel like within failure, there is life lessons. So as long as you're willing to keep going and learn from your mistakes, I don't see that as true failure. I see that just as an opportunity to begin again, like the quote mentions. Yeah. And it's a starting point with more knowledge, with more experience to be able right. to ultimately succeed. And I think a lot of people think success is like a straight and narrow road. Like, here's point A and I'm trying to get to point B. But often not. Like, there is a significant amount of failures within that path. There's like left turns, loop-de-loops. There's all these different things mm-hmm. that you're going to run into that you don't expect. But as long as you're willing to keep going, I think that's the truly important thing to finally be able to reach your goals.
Yeah, I really like this quote specifically because I think it failure to me is like not like I don't mind like not being good at something or mm-hmm. like getting something wrong. Like those are things that have never like really bothered me. However, like I think that. Like they bother a lot of other people, right? Mm-hmm. Like getting things wrong and failing, or like people who like don't speak up because they're afraid of saying like the wrong thing.
Yeah.
I've been in situations in which like I've had classrooms, or even just like I've had classrooms of students, or even just like a situation where I'm like having a board game night at my house, right? Where I'm like explaining the rules, and then someone like I know for a fact, I know how to like smell when someone doesn't understand like something that I'm talking about, right? Like it's I know for a fact when someone doesn't understand, and so like I'll always like, and I mean you've seen me do this. I'll say like, do you get it? And then people will all be like, yeah. And then I'll like turn to someone and I'll be like, okay, so what don't you get? Like I'll ask if you get it to like give you the chance to ask the question.
Yes.
But I know like everybody's like a lot of people are like, I don't want to sound stupid for asking the question.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like I don't want to sound, and I'm like, so the two things for me is like, I feel like it'll look more stupid when the situation comes up and you actually don't know what to do when you said you did. But B, it's like to me, the prerequisite for success in anything is kind of the prerequisite for success in anything is actually doing the thing in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Learning what the actual thing is, right? Like success in a board game is being able to win the board game. The board game's only fun if you feel like you have a chance at winning.
Yeah.
Right? But then if you never learn the rules of the board game, you're literally not giving yourself a chance to even have fun. You're not giving yourself the chance, right? Mm-hmm. So that's where you really fail. You fail by not taking the chance.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's like, yeah, I always like would rather just like jump into something and observe and see like what's going on and what's right and what's wrong, given that there's no kind of instruction manual. Mm-hmm. If there's an instruction manual, like I'll read it. But if there's no instruction manual, I'd rather like jump in and say like, okay, maybe I'll get this wrong, but that's okay. Right? Because I'm learning through the process. And the only way that you get better at something, who said it? It was Jake the dog in Adventure Time said, sucking at something is the first step to being kind of good at anything. Yeah. Right? So,
yeah, definitely. In that circumstance, I feel like failure is so much more easier for me when it's a group dynamic. So I'm like, if, for example, like board games, like when you're explaining stuff, I'm just like, sometimes I might be like, I did not pay attention whatsoever. So yeah, I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah. But for me, it's like, oh, like I'm fairly comfortable. And then there's other people that also don't know. So there's an opportunity for not just for me to fail, but for other people to fail. So it's a sense of comfort. So in circumstances where other people can also fail with me and stumble along the way, I'm perfectly fine. But when it's just me failing, that's when I kind of am very timid and want to stray away from it. Like, for example, ice skating. Like, I went rollerblading once when I was like a senior in high school, and I busted my knee and I couldn't walk for a week and it was horrible. And I'm like, I don't want to do this ever again. So my girlfriend Steph, she really likes ice skating. And we didn't go for the entirety of our relationship, which is like 7 years.
Until like this past December.
Yeah, right? Until this past December. Yeah, so it was like finally like, you know what, like I'm willing to try. Uh-huh. Like I know I'm going to suck. I know I'm not going to enjoy it, but like I'm willing to put myself in that uncomfortable situation to at least give it a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And I hated it.
Yeah.
When I was in it, like I hated it. I felt super self-conscious. I felt like, like it just felt weird. Like there's like kids, there's literally like 4-year-olds like skating circles around me. I'm like constantly like trying not to fall. And it just felt like at the time it felt really horrible.
Uh-huh.
But after the fact, I was like, I'm glad I did it, because, you know, even though like I didn't feel good at the time, like it was an experience I was able to do completely new with my girlfriend. And that's what I enjoyed out of it. So,
yeah.
But circumstances like that, I have trouble, because it's just like I can fail, but if she were to also not know how to ice skate, then I would feel so much more comfortable.
Yeah. I think for me, like, those are the kinds of situations where, like I can probably understand why you wouldn't want to try ice skating. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I'd probably say like, you can't tell me you don't like it. You've never tried it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Or like, it's been so long, you're like a different person and you've done so many different things that you might have a new skill set that makes you a lot better at this. It turns out wasn't true. But like, But yeah, like to me, I think that one thing that I think it's like a pet peeve of mine when people either give up on something mm-hmm. or say they don't like something specifically because they're bad at it, mm-hmm. right? I think that you can't, because then I'll ask that person like, what do you like? And then they'll name all the things that they're good at. And I'm like, okay, well, no one just gets good at anything just kind of overnight, right? Yeah. Like, there was a time in your life where you were adventurous enough to try this thing out mm-hmm. and get good at it, right? Like, I tell people I don't like reading. And truly, I really don't. But also, like, I don't really read all that often, right? If I read more often, maybe I would like it more because I wouldn't be, like, so slow or so mm-hmm. ourselves. Like, Sharice just read, like, an entire book over the weekend. And I'm like, okay. Right, but like to me, it's like, it. I really think that before you do something and then you're bad at it and you say, I don't like this, change it. Like, say, like, something about this is not fun to me. Maybe if I were, and then you can decide, do I want to try to get better to see if I like this, or do I want to just like leave it alone? There's no shame in leaving it alone, but for me, it's like, how can you say you don't like it if the sole reason that you don't like it is because you haven't worked up a proficiency to do it yet?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So. Right. So is it my turn?
Yeah, it's your turn.
I feel like I took that in a different direction.
No, I think that's really insightful. I feel like, I personally feel like a lot of people can relate to that.
Yeah. My other quote is one that I tell people a lot, actually. While it's always best to believe in yourself, a little help from others can be a great blessing. So this one I pull out in therapy, like, all the time. I tell so many of my clients, so many of my students, this, some variation of this quote.
Yeah.
And the reason being is because there's this expectation. So we as people fall into these two really, really, like, common patterns, right? One of which is we care a whole lot what other people think about us.
Yeah.
Right? And the other is we beat ourselves up over the fact that we care a whole lot what other people think about mm-hmm. us. Right? Like, and it's so crazy to me because those two things, like, they disagree with one another. Like, if you have one, then the idea is that you should not have the other. But the fact that we have both is really, like, troublesome for people. And mm-hmm. I like to normalize that as, like, a normal process of how we socialize, how we think. There is something that's really adaptive and healthy for self-monitoring and making sure that people don't hate you, right? I think that there can be something unhealthy and unadaptive when it becomes the sole purpose of why you do everything,
yeah.
right? Like, there's a difference between being polite and being, you know, polite and not falling too far out of the social norms where to the point where you're offending people mm-hmm. and literally never talking because you swear that everybody thinks you're stupid, right? And
yeah.
like, those are, like, things that I see a lot especially in, like, college counseling. And so a lot of times people will come to me and they'll say, like, you know, like, the other day, you know, my best friend told me that I looked really good, or the other day that someone told me that I was a really nice person, and for the first time in a really long time, I really believed it, and I felt bad for believing it because I should just be able to think that of my own self, like, on a normal basis.
Yeah.
And then I literally will say, like, I think I literally will just, whenever someone says something like that, I'll say, like, yeah, you know, like, it's really always good to have confidence in yourself, but it's always nice to have some help from other people. It's, like,
yeah,
literally what I say to them. Because the truth of the matter is that we're our own biggest critics.
Mm-hmm.
We are our highest self-monitors. And we have the potential to think higher of ourselves than anyone ever could. And we have the potential to put ourselves down lower than anyone ever could.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so I think that in those moments where we tend to put ourselves down, it's really helpful to have someone there to be a cheerleader or to be a helpful voice and help you check the evidence and say, like, you know what, like, I'm not this like worthless person,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm not this person who holds no worth or holds no value. Like, people like me, people care about me, people want me around. And when those people vocalize those things and it makes you feel better, like, don't feel bad that what other about you makes you feel better, you know? and also try to make sure that you can make yourself feel better with the things that you think about yourself. I think both are really important.
Yeah, definitely. From what I take from it specifically, it's more of most people don't get to where they are without help. And a lot of times it's not apparent, especially in this day and age of like social media, Instagram and everything. Like we see what people allow us to see. And we see the glamour side of so many people's lives that we don't often see the negative or the struggles that they had to endure to get where they are.
Yeah.
Like for me, whenever I do any speaking engagements, like I specifically spend time on informing people that like I didn't get here like by myself. Yeah. Like I didn't achieve anything really like completely by myself. Like I had to have help. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's a huge reason why I wanted to give back and why I'm going in the career path that I'm going in, because I want to be able to help others the way I was helped. And I think that's really important to understand that. I know this is, you know, people are like this grind culture that you have to work super hard and everything, but you know, getting help from other people is completely okay. Mm-hmm. And reaching out when you don't know what to do or what you're really doing is perfectly fine. And that kind of goes into like a therapy standpoint. I feel like therapy is extremely helpful for people, not just for like extreme like mental health reasons or crises in your life, but simply just to have a period of time to reflect on what am I doing, what do I need to do to get to where I am actually happy. Yeah. or achieving my goals, or any self-deprecating like actions that I'm doing, and how can I fix that?
What you're saying to me reminds me of this anime that I really love, that I think I think a lot of people have a harder time getting through it because for some reason people don't understand that slice of life anime is the best genre. It's called March Comes In Like a Lion.
Oh, you told me about it.
And I don't want to really spoil it or go too far into it, but it's this kid, and it's really like this very potent, and it's this really potent depiction of depression, of like really, really intense depression. And you see how important these people are who try to lift this kid up are to him. And you understand how thankful and how grateful he is to those people, even though he doesn't even understand it yet. Right. And he's always trying to say, like, I need to do this by myself. I need to do this by myself. And these few people who are like this community that lift him up are always there by his side, and it doesn't quite register to him like I'm probably here today because of these people. But it's like it's really heartbreaking to heartwarming story of how this kid learns to see the world. And it's really amazing. Yeah. So but that's my quote.
Definitely. I think a lot of people have that mentality of if I don't reach success by myself or with my own effort,
then I didn't really
it's not my success. It's like, it's everybody else's, or I didn't truly earn whatever I got. Yeah. But it's like, everybody needs that help.
My favorite quote, and I want to make sure I shout out the actual philosopher, who is definitely dead because there was like hundreds and hundreds of years ago, but I want to shout out the actual philosopher, who said the quote, but my favorite,
shout out his Instagram.
Huh?
Shout out his Instagram.
You know what? Someone probably has who said it? It was it was Isaac Newton. I was about to say, was it Isaac Newton? So he said, because Isaac Newton, you know, he has like a Newton's laws of motion and everything like that. Like, you know, a lot of what we know about gravity and physics and stuff like that, we can go all the way back to Newtonian physics. He has a whole sect of physics named after him, right? He said,
if you guys didn't know, like, Chance, like a physics nerd.
Like, I don't know. So here's the thing. I have literally 0 days of formal physics training in my entire life. And I can at least explain some principles relatively well, because I like watch YouTube videos about like physics and space and stuff, like on a, like I consume probably like 3 to 4 hours of like space physics type content. I think that flat earth content counts. Not that I believe in the flat earth, but it's like flat earth debunking content, right? So anyways, the quote is, if I have seen further than others, it's because I have stood upon the shoulders of giants. Right? Like, I love that quote so much, because we don't get anywhere without some help. And to be the best in any field, right? Like, we need the help of people who have been the best in any field in the past, right? Like, I can't be the best podcaster without, you know, taking notes from people on NPR. And as much as it pains me to say, because I really don't like his show, Joe Rogan, and like, stuff like this. Like, the fact of the matter is that, like, I want to really get good at podcasting, so I have to know what the big players in the space are, right? And that's, like, another way that this Iroh quote can make a whole lot of sense too.
Yeah, definitely.
So anyways,
right, nice.
The earth's not flat.
All right. that's another bonus episode. Oh, all right, man. So last quote. If you look for the light, you can often find it, but if you look for the dark, that is all you will ever see. So this one's a really powerful one for me, especially nowadays, with the whole lockdown, pandemic, just this year in general has been really bleak for a lot of people. I mean, I feel like a lot of you can relate. Like, the beginning of this year felt like amazing. I felt like I was getting my life together. I was supposed to graduate. Like, I had like a, like all these goals within like a month to like 6 months to a year, like plan. It felt like this was my year. And then once the pandemic started, it was like, okay, well, this is just a hiccup. You know, this is just a little bit. This is what, a month, they said. And as it continued, it felt more bleak. And
now it's September.
Yeah, now it's September. So I feel like a lot of people have been having a difficult time in the last couple months with their views on life. And I know specifically I've had multiple hardships that I've mentioned to you, Chan, with my career path and all of that. And I've definitely let it get to my mentality and affect me constantly of like how I act and how I've kind of seen how I'm currently seeing life. So I definitely felt way more depressed. But as I read this quote, it reminds me, it's just what I'm focusing on is all I will ever see. And personally, as a in my field with my clients, I've always stressed perspective. I think perspective is absolutely key, depending on how you see people and how you interpret whatever they might be talking to you about or actions that they might be doing. So for me, it's really taking a stance on the perspective and taking a step back from my current life and seeing like, what is, yes, I'm focusing on what I don't have,
right?
What plans aren't going right for me.
Yeah.
But if I can just pause and take a moment to reflect and really think about like what good is coming out of this, or what can I make this, what can I make this, this time, how can I make this into a positive experience for myself? And I know that's so difficult because like the quote mentions, like the dark is all you will ever see. So the further and further you look into that darkness, it's almost like a deep tunnel that you're embedding yourself inside of, and it consumes you fairly quickly. So to just say that, oh, just look at the light, like just to think of something positive, is not the easiest task in the world, depending on how far you're down.
Right.
But like I mentioned, it's really understanding that you need to take that step back, reflect on anything good in your life. It doesn't have to be like, oh, I got a new job, I found $1,000. It doesn't have to be these outrageous kind of or grand gestures in your life that are like ecstatic, but as simple as thing as like, I woke up this morning. I have a roof over my head. I'm not worrying about where my food's coming for the next week.
Right.
So really taking the time and to count your blessings is that just little light that you can focus on.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so important that, you know, it could be, it can be like the smallest of victories. I mean, it's something that I really try to drive home to people is like the smallest of victory is a victory. The smallest step forward is a step forward, right? Like all of these things are so important and to like celebrate. I think that, like I feel like you and me are just like pulling out therapy story after therapy story today. But it's like,
I mean, yeah, that's kind of where we are,
right? Like, yeah. I had a student who had at one point, like not been diagnosed with OCD, but had mm-hmm. many family members diagnosed with OCD and had, you know, several kind of like symptoms. And then like the kind of space I was in, I'm not going to formally diagnose, but we worked on stuff in that way. And I remember how she was at this point like unable to write notes like in class, because if she had misspelled something or anything, like she would have to like get rid of that page and rewrite everything from the very beginning mm-hmm. all the way to like the newest right? And so, or like if she would get like a call or a text during like a club activity, like mm-hmm. would not be able to focus on that activity until she like read that notification, right? And it's like, and I remember one week she'd come back and she was like, yo, my phone rang during practice the other day, and I didn't notice and I didn't check it for 3.5 hours. And like the biggest victory of the week was like, I didn't check my phone for 3.5 hours. And a lot of people might like hear that and be like, big whoop, like you were doing something, you didn't check your phone for 3.5 hours. And like, I'm sitting there like, I like threw my book into the air and was like, oh my God, that's incredible. Like we had like a little mini party about it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because it was so important to like celebrate any small victory that was on the path to what she considered success.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely think that, like you mentioned, again, it's perspective. So to someone else, like that's like whatever, like I do that all the time. But if that's a small victory towards goals that you're working on, like mm-hmm. that is a step forward. That is something that you are completing and something that you should be allowed to celebrate.
Yeah. And then you might find this one kind of interesting. The next victory was she started doodling in class, which actually was better for her because she would write notes and then just like doodle, which meant she didn't have time to write down every single thing the teacher was saying, which also meant that if she made a mistake because she wanted to kind of focus on the doodles, she wouldn't have to go and restart the entire page, and actually led to her having better notes overall and able to actually listen to what the professor was saying, which is like incredible. So anyways, small victories like go a long way.
Definitely.
So
those are four.
Those are four. Tweet at us, shoot us a message on Instagram, or just comment on the post when it comes out. What are some of your favorite IRO quotes? We want to know. We want to maybe we'll bring this episode back and we'll talk about some of your favorite quotes, right? Like whatever you all think are some of the best quotes, we can bring them back and we'll talk about them.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Cool. Well, anyways, thanks everybody for tuning in. Once again, my name's Chandler.
My name's Tony.
And we will catch you all next time. Bye.
Bye.